If you're hearing that sound, it's another special edition of Spiritual Perspectives, our program talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. And as always with Spiritual Perspectives, you're invited to join in on the conversation. If you have a question that you want to ask or a direction you wished I would go, just call right in at 415-543-8255. 415-543-8255. You just heard a little bit about him. Our special guest this morning will be here in the area. He's doing a talk on Sunday, sponsored by the Palo Alto First Church of Christ Science, but you don't have to worry about the church part, and we'll talk about that. It's a very special event, Prayer, Politics, and You, a Spiritual Perspective. How fitting. As a lecturer, author, teacher, and practitioner of healing spiritually for over 35 years, our guest was raised in L.A. and grew up with a family that gave him a very, very early spiritual training in spiritual healing. Following forward, he actually graduated from Claremont McKenna College with a degree in political science and worked professionally participating in some successful congressional, senatorial, gubernatorial, and even presidential campaigns. He's entered a full-time practice of Christian Science and has been traveling and even listed with the Christian Science Journal for months and months and months, well, since 1969. One of the most interesting parts is he's discovered that many political leaders and policymakers rely on prayer to make humane, compassionate, and intelligent decisions. He holds the conviction that all real social change comes as a result of a change in human consciousness, and that there is no more effective way of helping people and helping that change come about than through prayer. He's spoken in many venues, including hospice hospitals, health expos, interfaith conferences, domestic and foreign policy organization forums, youth forums, conferences, college symposiums, and of course, one-on-one conversations with seekers and individuals seeking solutions. So everybody, I'd like to introduce you to our special guest this morning. This is Ron Ballard. Ron, this is everybody.
Hi, good morning. Good to be with you again, Scout.
Oh, it's such a treat. I was so glad when I got to see that we were going to get to talk together. So because you've got the word prayer right there in the title of what you're doing, I'd like to start out. I know you know that we ask this question in every single program of Spiritual Perspectives. What does that verb or noun, prayer, mean to you personally? How would you describe that word prayer in terms of your own personal experience, Ron?
Well, that's a great question, Scout, and especially as it applies to our subject this morning. To me, prayer is something more than just appealing to God to intervene into the human scene. I think prayer is a dynamic of thought which strives to understand the divine nature and then live that nature in everyday experience. So, for instance, you know, if we were to kind of move beyond the idea of God as some anthropomorphic or man-like entity and begin to understand what that divine nature is, and virtually all wisdom traditions on our planet explore that concept, we'd find things like God being love or truth or principle or life. And then prayer to me would be taking those concepts and actually living them in our everyday experience. For instance, you could take love and live that presence of love in our relationships to each other, in the way that we see the world around us, like our environment, for instance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an active, not a passive experience.
That's such a great perspective, an active, not a passive experience, and that's so much what it's about. There's one other comment that you've got here, Ron, that I really want to elaborate on. There's a note that says, the contentious, and isn't it though, I'm going to restrain from any particular political commentary, but the contentious political landscape today requires a change in priorities and allegiance to higher principles and courses of action. But the phrase that caught my eye was that in your lecture, you're going to explore how we can let the human yield to the divine and thus experience more creative approaches to governing. There's just so much in those couple of words, let the human yield to the divine. Can you talk about what the heck that means, Ron?
Sure, absolutely. Well, kind of piggyback on what I was just saying, you know, if we recognize that the divine is that nature of God, then what we want to do is be letting our human attitudes, outlooks, perspectives yield to that higher nature. Now, you know, just to give a quick example of how that has actually worked for centuries, let's just take the political scene during the American Revolution.
Uh-huh.
You know, at that point in time, you had a pretty contentious political environment because there were still a lot of people loyal to the crown, and then, of course, on the other side, people wanting to start a new nation.
Right, being loyal to what's been normal because we don't know what something different would look like.
Exactly. You know, so at that point, there's a lot of argument going on, people discussing the pros and cons of starting a new nation. And you look at how Jefferson crafted the Declaration of Independence by starting off right away with really some sound spiritual principles, you know, that first of all, that God created everyone equal.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, that there are certain inalienable rights.
Well, it's funny for us to remember that was a shocking commentary in
yes,
its
it was.
Time. That was a shocking thing to say, God created everyone equal.
And then he goes on to talk about what are some of the divine rights that people have, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, you know, building on that idea of the right of self-government and self-determination. So what he does in that document is that he raises the level of discourse away from the debate about whether we need to stay with England or need to be on our own, and gets people to focus on those higher issues of thought. And once you get people to a level where they can agree, then
yes.
It's a lot easier to look back at the human condition and apply those principles to working out a solution.
So you've said a phrase here, Ron, that you're not talking like people are stepping outside of themselves to try and elevate toward whatever it is that they would think of as a higher status or God. You're talking as if we're reaching inside toward that perfection.
That's right, because every individual has that spiritual nature, which is an expression or a living of God's nature, the divine nature.
Uh-huh. So there's a concept that I just want to toss out and see where you'd like to go with it. And this would be the concept of, call it an ideal, what am I after here? Can't find the word. But call it an ideal mold or an ideal cast or an ideal frequency within each of us. And that when we get off track, it's the more surface parts of ourselves. Let me just toss that over and see what you'd like to say on that idea.
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the things that you find in political contention is that the debate rages when you stay at merely a human perspective. And, you know, there's validity to that perspective, to be sure. You look at the Middle East, let's say, in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and the debate goes on the basis of historical perspective, religious perspective, cultural perspective, political perspective, and as long as you continue to argue those points of view, you won't find resolution because there are perfectly valid points of view in that argument.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for resolution, then you have to go to a higher perspective, find common ground, like Jefferson did, in terms of promoting everyone's God-given equality, and then come back to the human situation to find out how can we work that principle, or you know what you were calling that ideal, how can we work that ideal into practical solutions?
So here I am, I'm just Scout, and I don't have $62 million to fund my own campaign to go be one of the politicians playing in the big game. Are we talking to, I noticed that there's a lot of political discourse where folks are talking about them what ain't right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the them what needs to get right. It's the this candidate or the that candidate or the this existing office holder or the that future holder. And as if it's somehow outside of me. So where do I come into this?
Well, that's really an important question, because my observation has been, both in personal experience, but also in research, is that social change occurs when people put their principles into play in their own lives.
Yes.
Now, from that historical perspective, Will and Ariel Durant, that did that massive study on Western civilization, came up with an observation about change, and that is that it always occurred as a result of sometimes just one, but few, people living the conviction of an idea. So to live the conviction of the idea means that you've got to find ways of putting those concepts or ideas into practice in your everyday experience. I share an experience in the lecture about having a real keen desire to kind of embrace that situation in the Middle East and find some resolution between Israelis and Palestinians. And, you know, as I was thinking about the concept of prayer that I mentioned earlier on, how can I take the conviction that this sense of divine intelligence can govern a situation? How can I take that conviction and play it out in my own experience? And I found that one of the things that I was doing was I had an office in L.A. is I'd get up very early in the morning at home, and I'd begin kind of praying, you know, to respect the spiritual integrity of humanity. I'd get in my car and drive for 45 minutes. And during that 45 minutes would be engaged in kind of the popular sport in Los Angeles, which is road rage, you know, criticizing all the idiots in front of me and beside me. And then I'd get to the office and begin praying again.
a brief pause from our primary message.
You know, obviously there's a disconnect in this whole process. But it's just those little things that make a difference, you know, that you realize, okay, if you're really kind of holding on to this ideal, you've got to find ways of putting it into practice. And what was interesting out of that experience is that a couple of weeks later, a United States senator called and asked if we could pray together to find some sort of construct to embrace that problem in the Middle East. He had just been appointed to the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
Wow.
That came out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what really prompted that opportunity was because I was willing to put it into play in my own experience.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't be praying to see the unity and the harmony of others unless I was willing to practice that in my everyday experience.
You know, I had a similar thing strike me at one point in time, the last time I had a job, and I was sitting in a padded wall, well, you know, it's very different between a padded cell and a padded cubicle, but sitting in a cubicle in Dallas in a fairly contentious position, and looked around and had a sudden realization where, you know, one of those moments where I had a vision or God spoke to me and just simply said, I'm here as a human being on a spiritual lifetime, regardless of my surroundings, even sitting here in this cubicle. And oddly enough, when I shifted it to make the cubicle be a part of my spiritual practices, we saw amazing things happen in terms of the interaction with the customers at that point in time.
Well, that's right.
It's just, it's truly bizarre to the human nature when we recognize that that's not all there is.
That's right.
I want to break away for just a second, Ron, because we want to let people know that you're going to be here in town on Sunday, and we'll give them a little quick information so that they can know where they could join with you then.
Okay.
Prayer, Politics, and You, A Spiritual Perspective is the topic speaker Ron Ballard will talk about this Sunday, October 31st, at 1:30 at the Palo Alto Art Center. In this timely talk for voters, Ron will speak on how prayer brings inspired solutions to political issues. Ron Ballard formerly worked as a campaign consultant with clients from both parties in Congress, the White House, and some state houses. He is also a member of the Christian Science Board of Lectureship. This event is free. Again, that's October 31st from 1:30 at the Palo Alto Art Center. For more information, go to www.cspaloalto.org. Sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientist, Palo Alto.
And you are listening to A Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. And with every program of Spiritual Perspectives, you're invited to join in. If you've got a question you'd like to ask or even a concept you'd like to float out, just dial in at 415-543-8255 and you can join in the conversation. Our special guest today is Ron Ballard. As we just mentioned, Ron will be here in town on Sunday the 31st doing a presentation Sunday afternoon at the Palo Alto Art Center. And for more information, you can go to www.cspaloalto.org, CS like Christian Science, paloalto.org, or a phone number for information is area code 650-327-1642, 650-327-1642. So a quick question about that presentation, Ron. The first thing I want to note is that the First Church Christian Science Palo Alto is not only sponsoring today's program, but also is sponsoring the event, and it shows as being free to the public. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep, it's going to be, as was mentioned, at the Palo Alto Art Center.
And then I know that because there's this funny word, actually we've had two very difficult words this morning, the first one prayer, the second one church, and I know that there are some people that have an image of what that would mean if they're going to a church event that might keep them away. What could you say to them if they're picturing some, you know, get thrown in damnation and then pass the plate around with an expectation? How could you describe this talk compared to that?
Well, you know, in Christian Science, we have a definition of church that is a good deal more mental than kind of physically structural. In Christian Science, the concept of church is that it's a structure of truth and love. And that structure isn't just a building, you know, it's a mental structure. And it's a demand that if individuals are uniting with this mental structure of church, that they go out and live the principles of divine truth and divine love.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if individuals are kind of expecting the traditional kind of construct of church, they're really not going to find that there.
Yeah.
Because that's not what we practice.
I know that one of the last times that you were in town and I was able to attend, actually there were a certain number of expectations put on me afterwards, and that's because I went downstairs to the reception and there was one lady that had made homemade brownies, and she really had a high expectation that I needed to try one.
Yes, that's right. You could run into that.
There was no plate passed, there was no collection taken, there was no come to our church, but there was an expectation that I had to try the brownies.
Yeah, you could run into that.
So let me just elaborate on that a little bit. People see Christian Science reading rooms, and I know for years I would see them and it was sort of like I didn't even know if I was invited to go in, much less what that was about. So how could you give people an introduction if they see a Christian Science reading room? Because I can tell you, if they're listening to this station, if you guys are just, I'll put it this way, if you cruised across the dial and just found us for the first time this morning, there's reason behind coincidence. You might as well mark Ron's event on Sunday right now in your book. But if folks listen to this station regularly, they're pursuing their own growth. They're pursuing their own remembering themselves as a spiritual being. And maybe they're not doing it through a standard organized religion on purpose. So if they saw a Christian Science reading room, what might the invitation be there for them?
Okay, that's a good question. If you were to walk into a Christian Science reading room, probably your first impression would be that this is much like a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be someone in that reading room, much like somebody behind a counter in a bookstore. And you would see a variety of resources that you could explore. The person in the reading room is probably going to say, hello, good morning, or good afternoon, or whatever. And if you have a specific question, they're going to ask that question. But beyond that, they're not going to pursue you. They're going to point out maybe what some of the resources are available. And to a certain extent, a Christian Science reading room is kind of like an oasis, a spiritual oasis, where people can come in and begin just being quiet, maybe, maybe looking at the Christian Science monitor, the International Weekly Edition, or many of the materials and references, Bibles or Mary Baker Eddy's writings, some of the Christian Science periodicals. Very frequently people have questions like, well, do you have anything on relationships, for instance? And then the person would say, okay, here are some references, and again, pretty much leave you on your own, unless you wanted to pursue a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the sense that religiously high-powered, you've come in.
Right.
You know, now we're going to try to make you one of our own.
Right, right, perfect. So it's effectively a spiritual growth resource center.
That's right, exactly.
So there's an interesting part, because Mary Baker Eddy's book has the word science in it, as does Christian Science, has the word science in it. And I know when Mary Baker Eddy wrote it, science wasn't the same thing it is today, which is new and improved so that it's a better detergent and we only research the things that are going to make our company money in a lot of cases. Then science had a real specific meaning. How would you describe that word science as used in Mary Baker Eddy's book, the title where she uses the word science?
Okay, that I think is also a really good question, because very frequently today when people think of the word science, they are thinking of what I would call the science that is in evolution, like our biological sciences, for instance,
mm-hmm.
where we're continually developing insights and hypotheses. But to Mary Baker Eddy, I think her use of the word science is more like mathematical science, where she is drawing upon the concept that there are certain fixed principles that aren't in the process of evolution, that you understand these principles, and then you put those into play into your experience. So, if you were to ask her today, well, does this science mean like physical science, or does it mean biological science, she would probably say, no, that's not, really what the focus is. It's more like mathematical science.
So,
and then it works from a process of, like the scientific method, where you take a hypothesis or you take a standard,
mm-hmm.
and you demonstrate it, meaning you put it into practice or put it into play.
So she saw this as a series of, in a lot of ways, it's almost like a handbook to being a spiritual being, having a human lifetime, that it's that owner's manual that didn't usually come with the package. She saw this as a series of tested hypotheses of spiritual reconnection and, for that matter, healing, and with a repeatable outcome.
That's right. Exactly. And to a large extent, it represents her experience virtually from childhood in this healing practice. And, in Christian Science, healing isn't really just about manipulation of physical symptoms. That's not what we mean by the term healing.
Ah.
Healing to us means spiritual renewal and regeneration, which in turn has the effect of, correcting the physical picture. But that's not the focus. The focus isn't, I've got a physical problem and now I'm going to pray about it. It's a realization that there's probably something at need in our lives in terms of this sense of spiritual renewal that needs to be addressed.
So let's just play that game for a moment. Prayer, Politics, and You, a spiritual perspective. You have a sharp eye on politics. You've mentioned that you're actually, politics has an eye on you too, apparently, since the major leaders periodically call you to work with you. Spiritual renewal and regeneration. What do I do as an individual if someone were to call, or if a group got together with you and said, okay, we are freaked out with the sense that our whole political process is headed south in a handbasket and we don't have any steering wheel, where might be the place that we might start to go gain spiritual renewal and regeneration out of that freaked out state?
Well, we would want to begin making some sense, you know, out of the whole process. One of the things probably that I would do, where I would begin, is trying to foster a sense of what I would call, you know, spiritual respect for others. And at a higher level, that means that you recognize that everyone is connected to and expressive of this divine nature. So everyone has validity, everyone has worth, everyone has value. So now we take that concept and we say, okay, how's that going to play out in the way that we interact with others? Well, maybe what we would need to do is to help foster a more civil discourse where we're listening to each other's points of view, not trying to marginalize or demonize somebody else's outlook or undercut it, but even if we don't fully agree with it, to realize that it does have some value or worth. If we do that, and I saw this worked out in this political campaign firm that I worked with. Mm-hmm. They conducted 45 campaigns during the time that I was with them. They never lost one of them.
Wow.
And the reason they didn't, I think, is because they absolutely kept their candidates on message. They refused to allow them to engage in negative campaigning. What they required was that you present your point of view, what you would do, how you would solve the situation, and not be focused on, you know, how bad the other person is and why they couldn't do it. They were convinced that what the public needed to know is what you would do that would be different than the situation that, you know, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of campaign then focuses more on issues. Now, you're going to have disagreements. Somebody may come along. I mean, kind of classic disagreement today is, do you, in this economic environment, do you think the better approach is to allow private enterprise to run its course and help create jobs, or do you believe that the government has a role in developing a workforce? Those are both valid points of view. And you could argue, as has been done many times in debates, you can argue the value of each one of those approaches, and there is value in them. But if you're going to have a civil discourse, you have to respect that discussion as coming from individuals that are, you know, both have value and worth.
Yes.
So, you know, we move it beyond this sense of I've got a point of view, it's the only point of view, and my job is to undermine or undercut your point of view so that you don't have credibility.
I want to repeat one phrase you said because I really liked it, and I'd love it if you have more to add. But you started this conversation, Ron, with everyone is connected to and an expression of this divine nature. Well, how about if I'm looking at the person in front of me and with all love and respect, I think that they are off track.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing that divine nature, and they're busy caught up in whatever else we get caught up in. First of all, where do I want to go with me to come back to peace with that?
Well, I think that question gets at the heart of what I have seen healing be about.
Ah, perfect.
Because if you can get beyond just the human appearance of what's going on, and begin reasoning at this higher level of respect and appreciation for that individual's spiritual integrity, then you help either bring that out in that situation, or sometimes it's just a matter of getting beyond our own faulty perceptions. So, you know, healing in a large sense, and as you look at, for instance, Jesus' record of healing, that's essentially what he did, is that he awakened individuals to their innate spiritual integrity. In other words, their oneness or their unity with God, brought that out in their lives. And as that awakening occurred, it changed the human picture. Over the years, I've seen really dramatic instances of healing where physical symptoms change immediately. Now, if that occurs, then you begin realizing that the nature of that so-called, you know, physical issue or problem really isn't physical at all. It's mental. If you look at, like, Jesus' experience, let's say, healing the man of the withered arm,
yes,
and that goes on immediately. How does that occur? That's not really body-mind connection, because it occurs immediately.
Yes.
If it were body-mind connection, you would say, well, there's a change of thought, and then over a period of time, there's renewal and regeneration of the withered limb. It's that, you know, that's all logical. I understand that. But if it occurs immediately, now you're in an entirely different realm, and you have to explain how that occurs.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody listening today is finding themselves thinking, well, that's nice, I want to move beyond the human appearance of what's going on, but somehow I've got it stuck in my mind, what's the how-to on this one, Ron? If someone's working with you, or if you're talking to a group and the question comes up of, how do I do that? What's the how of this?
Okay. Well, one of the things, you know, I would say is, I fully understand what your perception is. You know, we're not going to say that what you are perceiving has no validity or value. But if you keep focused on what that problem is, then that's not going to bring change. So we need to change perspective. We need to mentally begin seeing. And I'm talking about seeing there, you know, as a kind of a mental perception or discernment. We need to begin seeing things for more than just the surface appearance. And the more that you cherish that spiritual concept or integrity of others, let's say, then you're going to see that evidenced in your interaction with someone. You know, most parents, for instance, have dealt with this issue. Let's say they have a rebellious teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize that if you continue to react in kind to that rebellion, you have a war going on in your house for years.
Right.
It just doesn't change, because you've got two different perspectives. You've got the adult perspective, you've got the teen perspective. They both believe in the validity of their perspective, and then it's power plays and all of that, you know. So if you want to get beyond that contention or that war, you have to begin, let's say I'm the adult, I have to begin respecting that spiritual value and worth of my teen, which in turn enables him or her to have the freedom to grow and develop in a way that sees a higher perspective, because it's already within them, to see that higher perspective and act it out.
So the adult has to be the first grown-up.
Yep, that's right.
Or, in truth, the teen could also adopt that position.
Well, that's right, because sometimes the teen has to be the grown-up.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah. So you've got a wonderful phrase that says, prayer is a radical change of thought that moves from the mesmerizing pictures of the human scene to the spiritual perspective that shows our lives under the harmonious control of divine principle. I'd like you to talk about harmonious control of divine principle.
Well, seeing God, for instance, as principle means that you've got a source that is dependable, consistent, reliable, and, you know, rather than kind of buying into the idea of God as capricious, you know, sometimes good, sometimes evil, sometimes benevolent, sometimes punishing.
Yeah, just sometimes having the attitude of a five-year-old.
You're right.
You've hurt
exactly.
my feelings. You're never going to be my best friend again.
Exactly. And, you know, it's the whole idea of creating God in our own image.
So, oops.
Yeah, and historically that's essentially what humanity's done. But if you begin recognizing that there is consistency to this divine presence to God, then you have a basis for expecting harmony. Because if you understand that spiritual consistency of God's nature and you bring your own experience into line with it, then you find that you are in what a lot of people call the rhythm of the universe. You know, you're in that spiritual rhythm where there is recurrence of themes like harmony and progress, development.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of things have you seen pop open for you, Ron, when you've made your way? I mean, I assume that even though you've been in this training since childhood, that there are, well, as you described, the L.A. highway could convince you of its reality. What sort of things have you seen when you've seen yourself swing back in and find yourself really dancing in that rhythm again?
Well, you know, first of all, you begin realizing that this sense of spiritual growth and development, no matter how long you've been doing it, is something that you get to continue to do.
It's a path, not a destination.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, the thing is that I find it plays out in the very small things of everyday experience that very frequently people look to spiritual experiences like, you know, Moses's encountering the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we don't always encounter the burning bush, but we encounter lots of opportunities throughout the day to put into practice this connection with our divine source. And it might be something that goes on at the supermarket or my experience maybe on the highway. It can be frustration of trying to fix something at home, you know, that just seems kind of beyond our pale. And we can step back for a moment and just let that presence of divine intelligence be there that gives us the inspiration about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frequently what happens in my experience is, you know, we all go into things in our lives with kind of a decided sense of how it must work. And most frequently you find in spiritual growth and development is you get challenged on that.
Yes.
That it isn't always going to be the way that you think it ought to work. But if you're willing to learn and to grow, you're willing to step back momentarily and say, okay, I need to kind of let go of forcing this to happen in a certain way and listen for some new insight and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always loved Einstein's concept about that. He actually used the same process. He speaks about it at times when he's trying to resolve these rather complex equations, and he comes up to a roadblock, and he tries and he tries and he tries to figure out how to resolve this, and it doesn't happen. And he says he learned the value of just stepping away from it and go take a walk. Or in his case, he loved badminton, play a game of badminton. And he expected that divine intelligence to give him the inspiration. And he said very frequently that's what happened, that you get ideas when you're not trying to force them into play, but you're letting them come into your experience.
Yeah, there's stories of Edison when he was stuck, of leaning sitting in a wooden chair, leaning back precariously and holding large steel ball bearings in his hands to let himself drop right to the edge of sleep, but not quite fall asleep, so that he could move into that state of inspiration as well. So what do you say about the word synchronicity in terms of people having fortuitous coincidences showing up in their day-to-day activities?
Well, I think very frequently, that sense of coincidence isn't happenstance as much as it is frequently having the human sense of things, we were talking about it a little earlier, patterning the divine. In other words, the divine concepts or ideas begin to actually play out in your thought and in your experience.
Uh-huh.
And then it is coincidence. It's two things occupying the same point in time and space. That's real coincidence, is where you let the divine embrace the human experience.
So you see a lot of this as stepping out of the presuppositions where the mind has decided how things should be and navigating instead from how things are with a deeper sense that how things are is, as you'd said, everyone is connected to and being an expression of this divine nature.
That's right. You know, over the years, I've been helping people for over 40 years resolve issues in their lives through prayer. And I can honestly say that I've never seen a prayer that has not been answered. But I can also say that I've seen a number of prayers whose answer hasn't been recognized.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Got the answer, didn't like it, didn't fit with my expectation.
Exactly.
That must not have been God.
Yep. This process, you see, doesn't work.
I know I ran into one phrase that I just love, and it's at any moment in life where it feels as if God has gotten distant, who do you think moved?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So this Sunday, prayer, politics, and you, a spiritual perspective, what are people going to carry away from this, Ron, that they're going to have in their own pocket to take home?
I think the central focus that we'll be exploring is just what you and I have been discussing, is if we're interested in getting beyond contention, and that can go on internationally, it can go on nationally, but increasingly it goes on even within families.
Yeah.
If we want to get beyond that contention, we have to develop a certain spiritual perspective that raises us to a higher level of consideration and discourse. That might be the need to develop a higher sense of love, which is going to respect the spiritual value and integrity of others, so that we aren't just waiting to talk, we are really listening and valuing what somebody else has to say. And then through that process, we're going to find resolution in our discussions rather than, well, you just think that way and I think that way and we don't agree.
What a bonus.
Yeah, hopefully when people leave the lecture, they're going to realize, okay, the way to get to this point of resolution is to let go of just the mere human perspective, the pushing, the will, and explore different dimensions of reason.
fabulous. We're going to break away for just a second, Ron, while we go ahead and give people the information about the event that you've got coming up this Sunday and some information about finding me, because we're going to have replays of this interview available on my website.
Prayer, Politics, and You, A Spiritual Perspective is the topic speaker Ron Ballard will talk about this Sunday, October 31st, at 1:30 at the Palo Alto Arts Center. In this timely talk for voters, Ron will speak on how prayer brings inspired solutions to political issues. Ron Ballard formerly worked as a campaign consultant with clients from both parties in Congress, the White House, and some state houses. He is also a member of the Christian Science Board of Lectureship. This event is free. Again, that's October 31st from 1:30 at the Palo Alto Arts Center. For more information, go to www.cspaloalto.org. Sponsored by First Church of Christ Scientist, Palo Alto.
Hi, this is Scout, and you can have a private session with me, either a single session of self-understanding or ongoing development work for your spiritual path or unfolding the areas of your life that have been folded. We can work together individually, and I'm fully certified in all of the techniques that Christopher Howard uses in his groundbreaking Breakthrough to Success workshop, so that we can work even in those directions. You can contact me by phone as 925-676-5189 or email me scout@lifeinsights.net. That's scout@lifeinsights.net. Yes, and you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives, looking at real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. This is a special event. Our guest today is Ron Ballard. We've been talking with Ron, but I want to make sure that you know that replays of this show, as well as other Spiritual Perspective shows, show up on my website and are now being transferred up onto the Christian Science website as well. To find them on my website, they won't be there immediately. There's a small amount of, like, body, space, and time thing, but by tomorrow afternoon, you can find this one. There are others there now. And my website is www.lifeinsights.net. And then up in the right-hand corner, just click on radio. When you get to the radio page, just scroll down till you see Spiritual Perspectives. And there's a whole series of interviews there available for you to listen to. This show should be up there probably tonight, but certainly by tomorrow afternoon, depending upon the exquisite dance of me and technology. Ron, I wonder, is it okay if I give out your website as well?
Surely. Mm-hmm.
And I have that as www.ronballardcsb. I'll spell that. R-O-N, of course. R-O-N-B-A-L-L-A-R-D-C-S-B. .com. So ronballardcsb.com. And I know that his schedule's on there, as well as a lot of other really groovy stuff, but you can check the schedule to find other events that Ron has going on. Maybe he's even going to be speaking somewhere near your mom or
That's
other
right.
folks that you know across the country. Again, the workshop this weekend, the talk this weekend, Prayer, Politics, and You, I love the title, Spiritual Perspective. And that's on Sunday afternoon in Palo Alto. It's sponsored, as is this program, by the First Church of Christ Scientist in Palo Alto. For more information, their website is CS, like Christian Science, cspaloalto.org, www.cspaloalto.org, or a phone number. If you're driving in your car, lick your finger, write this on your window. You can read it when you breathe on it. And that's 650-327-1642. 650-327-1642. Now, I know that folks listening probably think that I have a nice list of questions that you're all ready to answer. They have no idea that you have no clue where we're going to go when you come up on the air with me.
Yeah, and that's the fun of this particular program, you know, is that both of us just kind of go wherever it leads us.
Exactly. It's a really sweet part, and I appreciate how nicely you play along. So we've got just a few minutes left, Ron. What would you like to toss out for people that I haven't thought to ask you about?
Well, that's a good question. I think one of the things that I really firmly believe is that all individuals are healers. I give a lecture on what would you do if.
Yeah.
And in that lecture, I toss out a number of scenarios that are actually real-life cases and ask the audience what they would do to help resolve that situation. And I'm always impressed by the very intuitive and innate healing outlooks and natures that people have.
I love your description of that, where you say healing is more than just physical treatment. At its heart, healing explores how each of us can be whole. Understanding that God's commitment to each of us is love brings a power to healing that nothing else can. I love that phrase.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, frequently people just need to follow those higher intuitions. You know, healing is essentially a matter of touching and tuning in to that sense of divine love that is unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
Very frequently, our sense of love is that, you know, like you were saying earlier on, you love me, I love you, but if you stop loving me, I stop loving you.
Well, it's only fair.
Yeah, that's conditional love. But unconditional love isn't so much about what is being loved, it's what is doing the loving.
Ah, yes.
And this divine nature is unconditional. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. Not, you know, that was the whole point of Jesus' prodigal son parable,
right,
is that when the son comes home, he doesn't have to go all the way home and fall on his knees and beg and plead and grovel to be taken back. He finds that his father's on the road running to meet him. And that imagery is unconditional love.
Yes.
That unconditional love is always there on the road running to meet us. All we really have to do is just kind of turn around and look at it.
Yeah, so it's my experience of me letting me experience my love regardless of what you've done, even if I might choose to not hang out while you do that. That seems very fair. Yeah, it's one of the phrases that tied in with another program I used to air on this station, and that phrase was, healing should not be reserved for disease.
Right. Yep.
So prayer, politics, and you mentioned a story earlier, Ron, where you'd made a shift on the highway, and then son of a gun, if within a few days you heard from a major national leader about, can we do some work together to look for an opening to a solution in an international conflict that, quite frankly, has not been open to solution. Can I be so bold as to dive into that story? And what did you guys find as you worked together?
Well, interestingly, what we eventually came up with was an appreciation of the commonality of genealogy of the Palestinians and the Israelis. Mm-hmm. Meaning by that, they both have a common father, Abraham. And even more than that, they have a common source. They have the same God. And what that means is that they both have value or worth. And at that particular time, the United States foreign policy was one of protection of Israel and its right to exist. But from that discussion, there was policy that crafted a more even-handed approach that respected both the Israelis' right to have their own state, but also the Palestinians' right to have their own state or their own country.
Yes.
And so what came out of that experience was this more even-handed foreign policy that recognized the value of both entities. And that came because we went back to that higher spiritual principle of commonality of the divine source.
Perfect. I can tell y'all that are listening, if you attend Sunday's event with Ron, and that's Sunday the 31st, it's from 1:30 to 2:30 at the Palo Alto Art Center. Come on, mouth. Which is on Newell Road, 1313 Newell in Palo Alto. If you attend, I can tell you two things for certain. One, you'll be in a room full of people who, like you, are seeking that deeper part of themselves and to live connected to that. And two, you'll leave in a greater sense of peacefulness within yourself than how you were when you arrived. It's a delight to attend Ron's event. It's a delight to be surrounded with people just like you. So, Ron, I'll let you invite people to that event.
Well, that's great. I would hope that everyone would come out, as we've talked about. This isn't a proselytizing event. It's an exploration of spiritual ideas and principles and how to put them into practice. The emphasis of the talk is going to be on resolution, not just on theory. And I'll have a lot of examples of how that worked in my own experience as well as in the experience of others. So come out and explore how we can move beyond the issue of political contention and find a higher sense of resolution and harmony in this process.
Timing is perfect. What a great thing to bring, Ron. I so appreciate you taking the time to be with us this morning. It's always a delight when you and I get to hang out. It's a delight for me anyway.
Yeah, likewise.
Oh, thanks. Phew, that was close.
Well, I should tell you, I have a couple of people that have over the years listened to our conversations and have been kind of so impressed that they've given you a call. So
yeah, true.
they've taken your offer of helping them walk through some of the spiritual issues and explorations they have. So
I'm truly honored by that. Thank you. And I'll let folks know that, again, more information, www.cs, like Christian Science, cspaloalto.org, or the phone number is 650-327-1642. 650-327-1642. Ron, thank you so very much. This has been Spiritual Perspectives. We'll actually have another round of Spiritual Perspectives this Friday, coming up this Friday morning. But in the meantime, this is Scout Bartlett reminding you that no matter where in the world you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.